Ben's got you a fancy church down here. I ain't never seen nothing to beat it. Bet they ain't got nothing no finer than this plum down in Knoxville. And that singing, well, I would tell you it's not a style I am familiar with. But glory, that's what I was thinking. Hey, yous don't mind if I take off my shoes, do you? It was a long walk from where I live, and that sun is hot. It wasn't so bad till it got up over Old English. That's the second peak over behind here, you know. And I live part near top, just below Auger Rock. That's a right fur piece. Yes, sir. A right fur piece. I didn't even get down to town much. Maybe if some of my kin got a wagon load of wood to sell, I can hitch right on in, find out what's going on. Why, it must have been spring of the year before I knowed Mr. Taft had been voted president last November. Well, me and my brother George likes to come down sometimes to see can we get a look at one of them automobiles. I seen one once or twice, not counting them few what's out there in the churchyard today. That's why I was a little late coming in. I was just looking at them up close, and I touched one. But that ain't why I come here. No, indeed. Well, I reckon you're wondering. And it was kind of your preacher to let me testify first. I know all yin's got a lot to say, but he said I could say my piece and get on back, being I got to walk so far. Well, I come here today to give an offering. See, to me, it's a real special offering, and I won't give it in a real church house. I mean, we got us a church a ways up the mountain, but it's a schoolhouse setting on the Sabbath. Ain't got no altar or nothing. Oh, I can worship in it, but it ain't quite right somehow after all these years. I sat in that little building the whole 6 years of my education. Always made me feel kind of like a youngin', like I never growed up, like I ought to write all my sins down on my slate or something. Offerings laying up there on the desk like an apple for the teacher. It just ain't fitting. My ma wouldn't have stood for none of that kind of talk. She said any place could be holy ground. And just about all God's good ground was holy to her. You know, she could love stuff right out of the ground. Shucks, she could nurse corn till it was full as a fat baby, mother her a brood of cucumbers and tomatoes like it was the vine itself. Kentucky Wonders would climb up her poles like a black snake up an apple tree. She put up mess after mess of beans and things, laid them by in the shed, row after row as God prospered her. But the first in ever 10 was her tithe. She took it to the schoolhouse on Sunday to help the Lord feed the needy. Now, I didn't really think on much. It was just something my body done. First fruits, the preacher called it. It was just a way of life. Besides, there was always plenty left for us. Never tasted nothing no finer in my life than my ma's green beans. Maybe there is something about that ground. Well, what ground my ma didn't garden, she walked, birthing babies. And I figure them as holy walks. Midwife to every baby born on the mountain for years. Never lost but one twin. Two, if you count the other twin, but its mother never lived to birth it, and it died inside her. Thing is, only his mother and baby mama ever lost was her own blood. That was my sister Janie. Purdy thing. She lived plumb on t'other side of the mountain. See, the pains hit her early, and she clung plumb up to Ma's because her man weren't home to come fetch her. He's off on a logging run. Oh, he's good to Janie. Oh, she was mighty purty, and he bought her nice dress-up things when he could, you know, hats and gloves and things. He never got over it when she died. I liked to never neither. After my first grief, I got all riled up with God Himself. Well, I stomped my feet and hollered at Him. Well, I hollered at Ma, but I knowed He's listening. What kind of God you got anyway? For years you've been traipsing all over this mountain helping other folk. Is this your reward? Is this what you get? You telling me God couldn't do nothing to stop it? All them things you've been telling me about God didn't hold to it when it come right down to it, did it? And I'll tell you something else. All your grown days you've been giving the Lord the first fruits of everything you got. Well, I guess that weren't enough for Him. I guess He wanted the first of your grandbabies too. Ma made me go on back to church. But I never again could sing Power in the Blood. I watched her die. Well, it was a rebellious house. A rebellious house. And then one day Charlie come round. And I liked his looks, and he was sweet on me, and I just up and took up with him. Oh, shamed my ma. What did I care what she said anymore anyway? Her and God was just like that. And I didn't believe in no merciful God no more. Charlie was God enough for me, and I worshiped him. Give me this ring. Chucks it. It probably ain't even no real diamond. But I was true to everything Ma taught me about love offerings. I give Him the first of my day and the first of my night. The first of my energy was spent doing for Him. When I baked, the first batch of sweets was His. And when I cooked, the first and biggest helping went to Him. And that spring, when he went off to Nashville to better himself, I was the first to wish him well. And the last to know, he wasn't never coming back. All them things I done for him, I reckon it weren't enough. But the fear of birthing babies was just too keen. Who came? Well, I didn't let on like it bothered me none when Charlie didn't come back. Let me tell you what I'd done. And my pa told me this story before he died of getting a hand-me-down winter coat. It was about 3 sizes too big, but his ma made him wear it to school anyway. Well, the kids made such fun of it that every morning he'd hide it in the woods as soon as he got out of sight of his house and walk to school in his shirt sleeves. In the evenings, he'd find it and wear it back in the door at home. That's how I done my love for Charlie. I was thinking on it t'other day. When I went out in public, I hid my love at home so's nobody could laugh at me. When I got back, I wrapped it around me like a big old coat, pulled my head down inside the collar, and buried myself in it. Trouble was, It didn't have no warmth to it no more. It felt about as cold as Pa's coat must have felt to him after laying in the winter woods all day. Sometimes I'd put on this hat and dance around, pretending like I was a fine lady with a handsome beau who thought I was the world in all. Trouble was, pretend only lasts so long. About the middle of the night, a feather bed can get just as cold as a crick bed, and a pillow just about as wet. And God can seem just as deaf as a crick stone. I guess you think I'm going to tell you some big miracle took place and I come to my senses. But that ain't the way it was. To tell the truth, when winter come, I didn't have much choice but to go on back to live with Ma. It ain't like mountain folk to turn a body away, but still, they can be stern when a body gets wrong. I knowed I'd hurt Ma. That's why I hadn't been to see her in all that time, and I dreaded going back. I know what I was expecting, exactly. But it was anything but what I got. I crossed that foot log. I can see her yet. She let out a whoop and slapped her thighs like she done and stood there grinning till she was holding me as tight as she closed one of her mason jars. And that sealed it too. As long as she lived, she never asked no questions, never laid down no rules, never once. Never once let me see the wounds I done caused her. You cannot even conjure how good that first plate of her green beans tasted. Well, everybody else had done left the table when I took out my third plateful. I looked up and she was watching me and she just whooped and slapped her thighs. Ugh. Now, I kept waiting for the new to wear off and the bitter to start seeping out. I mean, she done lost a lot more than I had. How could she be so blame happy? I kept waiting for her to pounce on me like a hen for Sunday dinner. I mean, how could she just keep on being so full of love as if nothing had ever happened? I tell you, it was more than I could conceive of. Bothered me right smart. And caused me some wonderment, too. I mean, if I liked the way she was, and I did, I admired her to no end. And if living with God made her that way, and she wasn't sour on me, how could I be sour on God? That I come there ready to stand my ground. But folks, they just ain't no arguing with that kind of love. It don't quit giving something just because it loses something. It was as painful as birthing any real baby. And it took a spell longer. But finally, gradually, a new spirit was born out of me, healthy. Like Paul said in the Bible, first they give their own selves to the Lord. I went on back to church. Started giving my first fruits to God again. First tenth of anything I got. Now it's a way of life for me. I learned herb medicine and even got to where I could watch my midwife once or twice before she died. I've been right proud of myself. Then t'other day, I was setting up by the water trough. See, we got us this log hollered out and laid in the creek where there's a little drop off and it makes a nice spout where we catch our drinking water. Anyway, I was sitting up there pondering, and it come to me just as clear. Well, now, ain't you something, Sarah Mae? You've been giving your first fruits to God all this time, la-dee-da. And you've been thanking, because you're a tither. You got this giving thing sewed up neater in a flour sack. Oh, sure, Sarah Mae, first time this creek thaws out after being froze all winter, you might give your first bucket full to a sick neighbor. But what if there was a drought and the creek was drying up? Would you be willing to give your last bucket full? So what I got figured is this. Giving the first part of something you have to the Lord is one thing. But it come to me that rail offering, a rail holy ground offering, would be to give the last of something you got. This hat is the last thing I own. It belonged to my sister, Janie. And this ring, it's all I got left to Charlie, whoever he is. This here. This here is the last jar of my ma's green beans. I'm saving it for Christmas dinner. Well, I'd sure like to hear what Yen's brung, but I gotta get on back. I just leave these here on the altar. I feel like I could walk all the way to Nashville.
In all my years, that's the first time I remember Sarah Mae dropping in on us. But I'm glad she did. And I understand, as I consider the situation, that in addition to Sarah Mae, there are three groups of people here this morning. There are the eight young women who are baptized. Great to have that group here this morning. If you're visiting, you should know that we do occasionally have co-ed baptisms. Thought you might think of sort of a Mennonite thing, or maybe a Southern Baptist thing against mixed bathing or something, but... It's our privilege to have a group of eight women who were baptized this morning. Our privilege to hear that. Second group that's here this morning is the West London Church family. And it's so significant for us to see those baptisms. And the third group this morning are our honored guests. You honor us by being here. Perhaps you're here because of the baptisms. Or perhaps you are Sarah May's kin, and that brought you here. Or maybe you just happen to be here. Maybe you're here because it's Father's Day, and a family celebration includes a church service. But this morning, in the last few moments of our time together, I have a message for you, all three of you, all three groups, a message from God. I say that because it's a message from God's Word. And some of you of a more practical frame of mind will be glad to know it's a really short message. And I just saw the baptismal candidates who took the clock that I normally keep an eye on. Oh, there it is there. Oh, there it is there. Okay, good idea. Good second thought. Put it over there. So briefly, I would like to open God's Word with you this morning and show you, all three of you, all three groups, a few things. It comes from Matthew chapter 10, which we have now for 10 Sundays been looking at. And it's the three concluding statements of Matthew chapter 10. The three concluding statements of a speech or a presentation, a pep talk that Jesus gave to his original 12 disciples when he authorized them to go out with the message of the good news that he had come into the world to make true. These three concluding statements are about the experience of being received and the experience of being rewarded, which has a lot to do with what we've been looking at this morning. So let's get started. The first concluding statement from Matthew chapter 10 is in verse 40, and this is what Jesus says. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. With each of these concluding statements, I have one concluding note, and then we'll be concluded. But here's the first note from what Jesus says. When you receive a person sent to you by Christ, you are receiving Christ. And because of whom Christ is, you're receiving God. That's clearly what he says. When you receive a person sent to you by Christ, you're receiving Christ. Now, he's talking about the apostles going out to various towns and communities to explain the good news. So receiving is a term of hospitality. In this case, receiving a person means responding warmly and openly to that person. It means opening your door or opening your home and opening your heart and opening your life. And if it's a person at your door with a message, then it means opening your mind to the message. And Jesus says, in that sense, if you receive a person sent to you by Christ, you're receiving Christ. Whoever receives you receives me. To understand this, we need to understand that Jesus means for us to think of ourselves as children. This is a Father's Day idea. He wants us who look to Jesus as our Savior and Lord to see ourselves as children. There was a time when an argument broke out among his disciples about who was the greatest in the kingdom. And in order to set them all straight, he went over to the edge of the crowd and he took a child, picked the child up, put the little kid down on the ground in front of everyone. You can read this for yourself in Matthew chapter 18. He said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." You've got to be like that, he said. You need to turn and become like a child. And the point is that all of us who will turn or who have turned away from our thought that we own our own lives, a thought that develops as we grow to adulthood, all those who think that we own our lives, we turn away from that attitude and turn to God, we'll become like children. And he says, this is in Matthew chapter 18, what he said in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 18:5, he says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." That's the same point. Receive a child of God and you receive God. And you can hear the protectionism in that. Can't you hear the protective father in Jesus coming out? He says, "I think of my followers as children. And if you receive one of these children, you receive me." And he was very serious. Let me read you the whole thing. It's verses 5 and 6 of Matthew chapter 18. He says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin," can you picture that? The little child there, the child is symbolizing all of us who believe in Christ. And Jesus says, "And whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, It would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. That's so stirring to think about how protective Jesus is toward all those who believe in him. If you just touch him, if you cause him in any way to turn away from me, it would be better for you to be dead. Those are the words of Jesus. And I hope you can feel the love in that. So now the three groups. To those of you who are baptized today, who have just officially signed on as followers of Christ, on the authority of God's word, I say to you, take heart. Jesus considers you to be his child. He considers you to be his responsibility. He means to look after you. He means to keep you from harm. So take heart. You've got a friend in high places. He wants you to see yourself as his child. He wants to see you to see him as your protective father. Take heart. And to all the West Londoners, that second group that's here this morning, you who are the church into which these eight important people have been baptized, I say to you on the basis of God's word, take note. Take note of how important it is to the Lord that these who have professed faith in Christ today are looked after well. So let us look after them well. And let's remember what Sarah May has said. Giving anything, the first part of what you have, is one thing. But the real offering, a real holy ground offering, is to give the last of what you have. So let's not just begin to look after these people and other children of Christ like them. Let's not just begin. Let's keep on giving them the love and the attention and the time and the energy and the encouragement that they need from the beginning of our demonstration of our care of them to the end of our lives. Take note. This is how much Jesus loves them. Now, the second concluding statement is about receiving rewards. It's verse 41 of Matthew 10, and Jesus says, "The one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward." Which sort of sounds confusing, but I hope I can make it simple to you. I think he suddenly talks about prophets because he's talking to his 12 disciples who he's sending out to speak. And a prophet is a person who speaks. That's what the word prophet means. It means to go forward speaking or to speak forward, to speak forth. And all the apostles, because they were sent out with a message, were prophets. Not all prophets are apostles, but all the apostles are prophets. So he's broadening the group a bit, and he's saying, the one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. It's not just true of apostles, it's true of all who speak in Jesus' name. And it's not just true of all who speak in Jesus' name, it's true of all who are right before God because of Jesus. This is how the whole statement goes. Verse 41, the one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And I think we can shrink that down to a second concluding note. Point two, when you receive a person just because he or she is Christ's, you are rewarded by God. That's what we need to see. There is a specific reward coming from Christ. There's a specific reward coming by God for anyone who will open up his life to the apostles' message, to the prophet's message, to the righteous person's message. Now, when you offer a reward to children, and Jesus means for us to look at ourselves as his children, when you offer a reward or gift to children, they are prone to ask, well, what did you get me? So that would be the right sort of question to be thinking right now. What did he get us? What's the reward? And the answer from Jesus is, I got you the very same present that I got the person that you have received. You share the same reward. If it's an apostle that you opened your heart to, then you all will be rewarded as if you are an apostle. And if it's some other sort of righteous person giving you some other sort of gift and you receive it, then you receive the reward of the righteous person. So what does that actually mean? Let me say to all West Londoners, take note of the third concluding statement. It's verse 42. Jesus says, "And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Which brings us to our third and final note. These rewards offered, whether because of your treatment of an apostle or a righteous man or any follower of Christ, these rewards of the Lord are offered regarding every follower of Christ. So you who have been baptized today, take heart. Though in some ways you're just at the beginning of the experience of being a follower of Christ, the official beginning at least, you are included in this blanket statement to the whole world. Anyone who will receive you as a follower of Christ, anyone who will honor you as a follower of Christ, will be rewarded. That's a promise from Jesus. And it has spectacular implications. Anyone in the world, everyone in the world, who in heart and mind warmly responds to any of us who are disciples of Christ, any of us from the freshest of the fresh new believers to the wiliest of the wily veterans among us, anyone in the world who responds openly, who warmly opens their hearts to what we are saying, will be rewarded. And this actually boils down to the simplest act of kindness. Even a cup of water given to a disciple of Christ will be rewarded by Christ. And just feel the love again. He says, a cup of cold water, preferably. If you have a need, and someone meets the need in your life, Jesus sees that and will reward that. That's how much Jesus loves us. That's how much he means to see us provided for. We all ought to feel the love, feel very loved and protected, and we all ought to rejoice in the fact that we are so well looked after and cared for by our Lord and Savior. Would it not have been enough if he simply came into the world, lived a perfect life, died a horrible death, rose from the dead, so that all who believe in him would be forgiven? Would that not be enough? Of course, the answer is yes. That would have been more than enough. That's what we needed from him. But here, all these centuries later, all these years later, he's saying through his word to the whole world, look after these people. Don't let these people be harmed. Woe to the one who causes one of these ones to sin. And if yet even when you find one of my people thirsty, think to give them a cup of water, that act of kindness will not go unrewarded. And try to make it a cup of cold water, because the person I love will appreciate it. Finally, to those who are not in the first group, not one of the eight, and not in the second group, part of the regular West London church family, but to all of our honored guests, I say this to you on the basis of God's word. Take a step forward if you're not already a follower of Christ. Now, you may have some idea of what that means. Maybe it means get around to having a conversation with someone who you know real well and can trust, who knows what it means to follow Christ. Maybe that's what taking a step forward would mean. But what I would like it to mean is that you take a step forward in your response to the message that Jesus delivered to the world through his apostles. That's what Matthew 10 is about. He sent his 12 out into the world that they might hear, the world might know, what Jesus has come into the world to do. And we at West London have, over all these centuries, inherited that responsibility, as all Christians have. And if you are not yet a person who has believed in Jesus Christ, then I would call you to see some divine significance in your being here. Don't call it a Father's Day fluke that you saw what you saw and you heard what you heard today. But see it as God bringing you to himself, and I call you to take a step forward. in your response to the love of Christ. Now, what Jesus has said is that a reward will be promised to anyone who will refresh a follower of Christ. Let's look at it again. It's verse 42. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he's a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. If you will do a refreshing thing for a follower of Christ, you'll be rewarded. But let me let you know what it's like to be a follower of Christ. When we're thirsty, we like cups of cold water. But the most refreshing thing you can do for a follower of Christ is begin to share with that follower of Christ their faith in Christ. For there's nothing more refreshing to those of us who have inherited the assignment to get the word out, to get the gospel out, than to see someone respond to the message. That's what's so exhilarating about a baptism service. That's what's been so thrilling about hearing the eight tell their stories of how they too have responded to the message of Jesus. So there's a reward pronounced upon anyone who will bring refreshment to a follower of Christ. And the ultimate rewards are given to those who give the ultimate refreshment to a follower of Christ. That is, take a step to Jesus and embrace him as your loving Lord and Savior. And the rewards that you get into for that sort of refreshing are stunning. The forgiveness of all of your mistakes, of all of your wrongdoings. The gift of righteousness, the gift of a right standing before God based on the right standing of Christ. And adoption into the family of God. It's a wonderful thing to be adopted. If you get adopted into the right sort of family, if you got adopted into the Wolanda family, you could learn to walk a tightrope. Be careful with that one. I hear the Grand Canyon's coming up next. But if you get adopted into the family of God, the rewards are eternal. The acceptance by God is stunning. And you have Jesus as this father figure protecting you for the rest of your life and seeing you safely through to eternity. The rewards are absolutely stunning and include the privilege of being part of a church family, which when all is well, can be a real great thing. As far as steps forward go, I'll just give you one suggestion and then we are finished. A suggestion of taking a step forward would be to look into what baptism means. That is to investigate for yourself what those eight women were expressing by their baptism. And there's an opportunity here at West London just coming up for your information. Details are in the bulletin, but let me just tell you. Two Wednesdays from now, June 27th at 7 o'clock. That's easy to remember. On the 27th at 7 o'clock, there is what we call a baptism Bible study. Not really a Bible study where you come into a room and then get asked tricky questions about what the Bible says. More of an information meeting. I will lead it, and I'm inviting any of you who are interested to join me two Wednesday nights from now. And I'll show you from the Bible what baptism means, as a way of helping you understand whether or not it would be appropriate for you, whether or not you're ready to take that step forward and become a follower of Christ who said so through baptism. I said the third group are our honored guests, and I would like to say as we wind things down today that you have honored us by being here. It's an honor for us to have you here, and I'll say personally it's an honor for me to have the opportunity to tell you what Jesus has sent West London Alliance Church into London, into the communities and neighborhoods to communicate. And I'm glad you're here. Hope it's been an inspiring experience to you. Hope it's been helpful to you in directing you to understand rightly the God who has brought you into the world and offers you his life, his eternal life.